the newspaper here, and I just had received the email from Dan, and I thought, you know, that would be a good topic for the column, because as school's starting back up, you know, families get busy with sports and rehearsals and practices and all this, and maybe they don't emphasize nutrition as much and the importance of taking care of that, because our area has a very high rate of overdose, and there's been even more. It just seems in the last year or so, there's been a lot of cases of situations where the kids are getting involved and the parents are like, how did this happen? So I thought, well, this would probably be a very timely topic for our area.
Okay. What I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is first explain what addiction really is.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
And then if you want more on mental illness, I could do that.
Okay.
But what happens in our body to get addicted is we either take drugs, or in most cases drugs and alcohol, that stimulate the opiate receptors. And opiate receptors are clusters of proteins in our brain, our spinal cord, and our gastrointestinal tract. And when the opiate receptors are stimulated, they release chemicals. Those chemicals eventually go to the brain, and they activate the dopamine, which is the pleasure neurotransmitter. And when that happens, you know, the people feel good. That's why they take the drugs or alcohol. And as that happens over time, the dopamine goes from the frontal cortex, the front of the brain, to the middle brain, which is where everything is for our instincts and pleasure. That's how everything's run. And then something will go back up there called glutamate. And that's what forms all the little nooks and crannies that you see in the brain, and those are the memories. And as that keeps happening over a period of time, what happens is it takes over the middle brain and the pleasure center, where pleasure becomes equal to survival. So they have to have the drugs and alcohol to survive. That's what they believe. And that's when they start stealing and doing things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. It totally takes over. And the upper cortex, which is the logic center, which makes decisions, is overwhelmed. And the pleasure center eventually takes over it, so they can't make the right decisions. And that's what addiction is. So addiction is truly a medical illness. It's not something that they decide to do or they have a choice about once they're truly addicted. What I found out through my research on substance abuse and mental illness is that many other things stimulate the opiate receptors. So when you stimulate the opiate receptors, I told you already what happens when you stimulate them. So when you have things like sugar, gluten, artificial sweeteners except for stevia, dairy, the additives, preservatives, and dyes in the food, caffeine or nicotine, it has the same response, and it stimulates the opiate receptors, which then stimulates the dopamine. Well, this gives them the urges. All those things also cause inflammation. The inflammation throws off the insulin mechanism, which causes problems with the sugar, and that goes back to the opiate receptors, and it reinforces it. So when people go into a clinic or are working with a professional, and they may not have access to the drugs or alcohol, but they transfer the addiction to other things, usually the biggest one is sugar. And when they do that and they finally leave the program, That's why there's such a high relapse rate, because the mechanism was enforced just at a lower level. So when somebody comes over and says, come on, let's get high, it's real easy for them to do it because they kept the mechanism in place. They didn't stop it. What my program does is I prepare special menus for substance abuse and mental illness to not stimulate the opiate receptors, to not cause any inflammation. I use a special water, Aqua OH, which gets rid of the acid, which is what causes the inflammation, which throws off the insulin mechanism. So between those two, if they're not stimulating the opiate receptors, and therefore the dopamine, and not taking the drugs, they have a much higher rate of success and a much lower relapse rate, because right now the relapse rate is about 85% in America. And when they use my program in conjunction with a therapist, it drops down to about 45%, which is still terrible, but it's a lot better than 85%. That makes sense?
So it goes from, as you said, it's 85%, but if they use your program in conjunction with the therapist, it drops to 45%.
Yeah, see, the therapist takes care of the mental reason why you're taking the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're still having the physical aspect of it, it makes the therapist's job much harder.
Sure.
So my program won't work well without a therapist, and a therapist program doesn't work as well without taking in consideration and working in conjunction with the food and water aspect of it. Because if we keep stimulating what's causing it, even though we're not giving him the drugs and we're telling him why he's taking the drugs, the physical urge is still there. So if you get rid of both things, the reason why you were taking drugs and the physical urge to take drugs, you obviously have a much better success rate. One thing, like I said, on my website, nameprogram.com, there's a free menu where it's a week's menu with all the recipes. But the real trick is to stay away from sugar substitutes, except for stevia in moderation, gluten, dairy, and get chemical-free foods without the additives, preservatives, dyes, antibiotics, and all that in it, and of course caffeine and nicotine, and then obviously drugs. If you stop that, you stop the physical aspect of it. Because if they have the physical aspect, it's real easy to be convinced to try the drugs, because you already know what the pleasure feels like.
Stay away from sugar, gluten, dairy, any foods with additives or dyes.
Any processed foods, that's correct. And nicotine and caffeine. If you ever go to an AA meeting or an NA meeting, what we should do is set up a booth there selling Snicker bars and cigarettes, because we'd make a fortune. Because that's what they all transfer the addiction to. And I think it's like 13 or 15% of the population smokes. And if you go to one of those meetings, I don't know the real number, but I'd say at least 80 to 90% of the people smoke, because they're transferring the addiction. So I try to eliminate all that so they don't have any physical urges for it. And then the therapist is supposed to take care of the mental urges. And then there's a lot of other things that you could do. You have to prevent stress, because stress releases cortisol, which stops everything. I mean, it stops metabolism, digestion, the hormones working properly, the insulin mechanism working properly. So you have to do things to stress if you're older. I guess you could do it if you're younger too. Yoga, Pilates, regular exercise, something that's fun, you know, like a hobby or something like that, to relieve the stress, because the stress will start the whole cycle over again, because it definitely sends sugar right to the opiate receptors by throwing off the insulin mechanism. And believe it or not, sugar is the biggest addiction in the United States. And it is addicting, just like a drug. The other thing that's important is to make sure that we don't cause inflammation, which all the those things that I just mentioned, those foods all cause inflammation. Inflammation is internal, and the CDC says that inflammation adversely affects 85% of all diseases, including all the ones that affect kids, like ADHD, OCD, depression, all of those. And then I have special menus specifically for those if they don't have a drug problem, but they have what's considered a mental illness, like, as an example, anxiety disorder. If you have anxiety disorder, you don't have enough serotonin being produced in your body. And serotonin is the thing that makes it feel good, you know, mellow.
Mm-hmm.
If you give him menus that have the precursors of the foods that will help produce the serotonin and the melatonin, that helps a lot with the anxiety disorder physically. And then again, the therapist has to get to the reason mentally why they're having the anxiety. But again, it's just like with the drugs. If I could get rid of the physical aspect of it, and the therapist could get rid of the mental aspect of it, the chance of success is much greater, and the chance of relapse is much lower. One of the things that the main thing that causes inflammation is eating acidic food. You know, in America we have a very acidic diet. So you want to try to make your diet more alkaline. The body has a mechanism to keep the pH where it's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
7.35 to 7.45. But acid builds up in certain areas, which is just the hydrogen proton. So my menus are 75% alkaline, 25% acidic, and then I use a special water called Aqua OH, which is a hydroxide alkaline water, which it's made, it's pure, it's made from limestone, it's concentrated, so it's inexpensive. And it has a lot of OHs in it, OH negatives, and they run around and they look for the hydrogen protons, which is what really causes the acidity, and they bond with them, and it forms water, and then it's just urinated out of the body. So almost everybody who has substance abuse or a mental illness has inflammation. Really, most Americans have some, but if you have a specific disease, you have it higher, and my menus and program try to eliminate that, and it does it pretty well between the menus and the water. I could give you another example for a mental illness that'll make sense.
Yeah, that would be good. Sure.
Except this is a kid's article, but I just want you to see the logic behind
it. No, I would like that.
If sex addiction is a real disease, there's about 30 million Americans that have it. In the case of men, if you have sex addiction, besides there being a mental reason that you have it, something usually from your childhood, but you have too much testosterone. So I give them a menu that doesn't have any of the building blocks for testosterone and has soy and estrogen in it, which negates the testosterone. And again, that'll take care of the physical urges, and the therapist, psychologist, or psychiatrist figures out the mental reason why you have it, and it makes their job much easier. It's so much harder if they're working on the mental, but the physical aspect is still going on. If you get rid of that at the same time, it makes their job much, much easier. And that's what I do, is I work through therapists to help them.
Okay. What would be a typical, maybe breakfast, lunch, dinner for, I know I can get in your website and look, but just chatting about it, what would you recommend for parents to kind of keep their kids on track as far as not being such a, like wanting that pleasure, or maintaining that balance so that they don't have to feel like they have to stimulate their body to feed their body instead?
Okay. Well, instead of just giving you a menu, which like I said, you could get right from the website because it's,
yeah,
the menu gives you, but I'll give you an example.
Okay, that would be good.
Okay. A typical breakfast would be pumpkin muffins and eggs, or an egg casserole, or a berry pomegranate smoothie, or a gluten-free breakfast bar, or any type of good, healthy protein shake. All of those are healthy. And as a snack, almonds and walnuts are a good snack. Celery with almonds or cashew butter. Coconut yogurt, non-dairy. A serving of low-sugar fruits. The darker the fruit, the better it is. All of those are good snacks to have with it. And you have to make it fun. So if you want the kids to do it, let them help you make it. Let them help you make the water, because it's a concentrate. Although it's liquid, you put 1 ounce in with 31 ounces. Let them do it. You know, teach them how to do it if they're real young. And then shake it up. And you can put a little stevia in there if they need it for the taste. And that'll help with the inflammation. But the bottom line is they have to stay away from sugar substitutes, dairy, anything with the additives, preservatives, and dyes, and of course the nicotine and caffeine, which the kids shouldn't be doing anyhow. But all of those things stimulate the opiate receptors. So if they stay away from that and have a normal breakfast without those, and I just gave you several examples of it, that'll help a lot.
So the typical breakfast of cereal with milk on it is me.
Yeah. If they want, they could use almond milk and get a better cereal, because if you look at the cereals, they have additives, preservatives, sugar, salt, you know. So you have to find a healthy, like a oatmeal even, would be good, but don't put in regular milk, put in almond milk. Because besides dairy being the largest thing that people are allergic to, especially children, it also stimulates the opiate receptors, and it's acidic. And we're trying to stay more alkaline so we don't cause inflammation. See, I have some samples of lunches, too.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you lunches. And
okay, besides making sure you give them water instead of, like, juicy juice and stuff like that, which is either filled with sugar or filled with sugar substitutes, which, you know, makes them hyper and stimulates the opiate receptors, like a black bean salad with a 3-ounce chicken breast, quinoa berry salad, a gluten-free Southwest shrimp and pasta salad, cherry pecan chicken salad with a lettuce wrap, a Southwest salad with a cilantro dressing, a pecan berry and a arugula salad, cranberry coconut chicken toss salad. All of those are good. And if you let the kids make it, they take ownership of it. And they won't trade it for a Snicker bar, hopefully.
Yeah. It seems like that this would be, like some people would say, this might take a long time. This seems like it's labor intensive.
No, I have all the recipes, and they're very quick. It's quicker than what they're doing now, once they understand how to do it.
Okay.
Now, think of it. A salad is a lot easier than making what they usually make.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate. So.
No, I have all the recipes that go with it. And once they learn them, it's easier. You can prepare them ahead of time, you know, and put it in.
It really is just, it comes down to a lifestyle change.
That's right. Right.
The habits, changing your habits of the way you do things. Would you say that?
Think of what we do. We reward children with sugar. That's the reward. Why not reward them with fruit? But think of it. If you're a good boy, you could have a cupcake, which is going to throw everything off, and that's what we do. So we have to change our thinking, too, and study a little. And they could learn a lot from both my websites, you know, reading it and understanding it. I made it as simple as I can with, you know, considering it's science and patented and peer-reviewed, but I made it as simple as possible for the people. And if they look there and read it, they'll understand it. And if they have any questions, they could email me. And you could do that, too. You could look at the websites, and if you come up with any other questions, you could call me back. Or email me. I'll give you my email.
Yeah, give me your email.
It's keith@drkeithcantor.com. And if you email and say, hey, could you please call me? I have a few questions. I will.
Okay, so you said your email is
DR for Doctor, Delta Romeo, KeithCantor.com. And you could email me and tell me when to call or we'll set up a good time to call and ask me any other questions.
Okay, that sounds great.
I love to help.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Bye.